The reading is from Luke chapter 1, beginning at verse 57, and it can be found on page 1027 of the Pew Bibles. The birth of John the Baptist. When it was time for Elizabeth to have her baby, she gave birth to a son. Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown her great mercy, and they shared her joy. On the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child, and they were going to name him after his father, Zechariah. But his mother spoke up and said, "No, he is to be called John." They said to her, "There's no one among your relatives who has that name." Then they made signs to his father to find out what he would like to name the child. He asked for a writing tablet, and to everyone's astonishment, he wrote, "His name is John." Immediately, his mouth was opened and his tongue was loosed, and he began to speak, praising God. The neighbors were all filled with awe, and throughout the hill country of Judea, people were talking about all these things. Everyone who heard this wondered about it, asking, "What then is this child going to be?" For the Lord's hand was with him. His father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come and has redeemed his people. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he said through his holy prophets of long ago, salvation from our enemies and from the hands of all who hate us, to show mercy to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven, to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the path of peace." This is the word of the Lord.
Father God, as we come to think about this passage, and particularly this phrase, Lord, our horn of our salvation, please open our eyes to see the coming of your Son in a fresh way this morning, in a way that's unfamiliar, that the joy of what Christ came to do for us, Lord, will just fill our hearts with great joy and praise. In his name we ask, amen. Now do turn to Luke chapter 1 in the Bibles in front of you. It's on page 1026. It's always so important, isn't it, when you hear anybody preach from the Bible, that you hear that what they're saying is actually from the Bible. You don't believe anything because I say it or any other preacher. You only believe it if it's clearly what the scripture is saying. And hopefully what I'm going to say is going to help you understand it a bit better. So it matters to have our Bibles open. And it particularly matters this morning because I haven't got anything on the screen. There's no pictures today. I've got no verses up there. I haven't had time to do it this week. So I'm sure you'll forgive me. But it means you've got to concentrate even harder on what the passage is saying. And that's not a bad thing. So, I've got a little bit of a tickle as well, so forgive me if I'm sapping water throughout. I want you to imagine for a moment that you're invited to a great unveiling of a new painting. It's by a famous contemporary artist, and it's in an illustrious gallery. This painting is entitled God's Christmas Gift, and it's a huge oil canvas. You don't know what the painting will be of exactly, but you anticipate it's most likely to be some sort of manger scene with Jesus lying in the straw of the manger. But as the silk curtain parts, gasps echo around the gallery, for the painting could not have been further from people's expectations. The scene is a distant hill at dawn, with the sun about to rise behind the hilltop. Beams of sunlight shoot up out of the picture. And all alone, silhouetted on the hill in the centre of the picture, very dark, is a magnificent wild ox, standing with his back 7 feet tall and the crown of his head 9 feet tall. On both sides of his head, there is a horn curving up and out, each 6 feet long. And he stands there, sovereign and serene, facing the southern sky with his massive neck slightly cocked, and impaled at the end of his right horn hangs a huge lion, dead. The people's gasps turn to stunned silence. Baffled, bewildered by what this painting has to do with Christmas at all. Now, the image has not been created as far as I'm aware. It's an image that I've borrowed from a sermon from American pastor John Piper. He said in one of the things that he had written that if he was an artist, he would love to paint the scene that I've just described to you and hang it on his wall at home next to the manger scene. If anyone ever painted such a piece of art, I think that God's Christmas Gift would actually be an apt title in the light of Luke chapter 1 and Zechariah's song. Before I try and explain, let me remind you of the context behind Zechariah's song of praise. Zechariah was an elderly priest married to his elderly barren wife Elizabeth. And when it was his turn to serve as priest before God in the temple in Jerusalem, an angel appeared to Zechariah and said that he and his wife were going to have a son, and Zechariah should call him John. John would prepare the nation of Israel for the coming of the Lord. Well, Zechariah didn't believe the angel and so was struck dumb and deaf as well, it seems. He was unable to speak or hear. After all, a priest who will not believe the word of the Lord is not fit to speak the word of the Lord. Well, over the next 9 months, Zechariah had plenty of time, plenty of silent time, to contemplate, to ponder, and pray and meditate on what the angel had said to him. He had plenty of time as he saw his wife's womb swell and a healthy son born to them in their old age. And on the day when his son was named, Zechariah's tongue was finally loosed, and in the power of the Holy Spirit, he burst forth with praise. And it was read to us very helpfully by Jill a few moments ago. What's interesting about Zechariah's song is that only two verses, verses 76 and 77, refer to John the Baptist specifically. Zechariah's time of contemplation led him to see that his son's coming was the forerunner to the coming of the Lord himself. And so the majority of Zechariah's song is about what the coming of the Lord is going to mean. See, God was coming to redeem and to save his people, we're told, from their enemies. And verse 69 tells us how this redemption will happen. It says that he will raise up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. And this is referring to Jesus, not John, because John the Baptist was not of the house of David. Jesus was. See, Jesus' birth means that Jesus is the horn of salvation that Zechariah prophesies about. And this image of the horn of salvation that I want to focus on briefly this morning. To understand this phrase, we need to go back to the Old Testament. Because the phrase is not referring to a horn, as in some sort of bugle thing. Yeah, it's not referring to a horn as in terms of an instrument. It's referring to the deadly weapon of a wild ox. Psalm 92, verses 9 and 10 says this. It says, "For surely your enemies, O Lord, surely your enemies will perish. All evildoers will be scattered. You have exalted my horn like that of a wild ox." See, the horn in the Bible is a symbol of strength. The horn in the Bible is a symbol of strength. It's a symbol that points to victory. Now, I wonder if you've ever been to the South of England show or the Heathfield show and you've seen a prize bull. I went to the Heathfield show with Gerd and some friends over the summer, and I loved that time when they parade the cows and things around. And then you get the bulls coming around, these huge, great bulls. Such power. You know, you just realise they could just sort of lean to the side and just, they would squash you if you're against a wall. Probably fatally. See, bulls are fearsome, great chunks of sheer power. And when that power gets behind the point of a horn, anything in its way is in serious trouble, no? The horn of a bull is a deadly weapon. Now, the actual phrase horn of salvation only comes twice in the Old Testament. It comes in Psalm 18 that we read at the start of the service that we opened with, and it's repeated in 2 Samuel 22, verse 3. See, we began our service with Psalm 18 with those words, words of David, words that David wrote after God saved him from his enemy Saul. And he said, "The Lord is my rock, my fortress and my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation." He is my shield. That means he is my defense. He is my protection. But he is my horn of my salvation, which means he is my attack. He is my deliverer. He is my savior. See, that is what the coming of Jesus is all about. God's gift to you and me at Christmas, in the child lying in a manger, is actually the gift of a deadly weapon given to save us from our enemies. Well, who are the enemies we need saving from? Well, for Israel at the time, it was the Romans. And Zechariah looks into the future and he sees a final day when Jesus will liberate his people from all their oppressors and all who hate them. And he will gather his people into his kingdom and rule them in peace. But Zechariah's words tell us that Jesus would liberate his people now from a much deeper, more serious enemy. Because he would be their spiritual conqueror. I wonder if you noticed that in Zechariah's song, what he was actually going to liberate people from. See, as the horn of salvation, Jesus would win the victory over sin because he would bring forgiveness, verse 77. He would fight against death, which is the consequence of our sin, verse 79. And he will bring light and life. And as the gospel and New Testament go on to explain, he would fight against the great enemy of God's people, the devil, who 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 8 tells us is a real and powerful enemy who prowls around like a roaring lion, it says in 1 Peter, seeking people to devour. On the whole, we don't tend to appreciate gifts that we can't see the need for and have no desire for, do we? You know, if somebody gave me sunblock for Christmas tomorrow, I probably wouldn't feel a great deal of appreciation. Certainly not this time of year, in December. But if I was going on a skiing holiday on Boxing Day, yay, sunblock's just what I need so I don't end up with a sunburnt face and coming back looking like a panda. Similarly, if one of you offered me a speedy ride down to accident and emergency at the DGH after the service, I'd think you're a little bit strange. Unless I suddenly had acute pains across my chest and couldn't feel my left arm after the service. We don't appreciate gifts that meet no needs, that satisfy no desires. And many people view Jesus and the story of his coming as useless sunblock or an unnecessary trip to A&E. For the simple reason they don't know that they have a terminal illness called unforgiven sin that will lead to eternal death. And they don't believe in their formidable enemy, Satan. For them, Jesus, God's horn of salvation for them, well, it's just a useless present. But for me, it's my only hope of rescue from this deadly disease of sin that infects my soul and leads to death forever. And the horn of salvation that God has provided is my only protection against Satan, who seeks to confirm that eternal destruction. Every one of us will die from this disease. We will all be devoured by that enemy if there is no horn of salvation for us. For Satan, the roaring lion, is looking to devour each and every one of us. But let me tell you today, if we take refuge in Christ, if we put our faith in that deadly weapon that God has given us in his Son, Satan cannot harm us because Christ has defeated him. Tomorrow on Christmas Day, we will break bread and we will share the cup together as we remember the reason that Jesus came to earth, born as man. He came as our powerful Saviour. He came as our horn of salvation. He came to be God's deadly weapon against sin, the death, and the devil. And he was that weapon through his perfect life, offered once for all on the cross, where there he won forgiveness, eternal life, and released us from Satan's hold. It was there on the cross that Jesus won the victory for us and opened the loving arms of our Heavenly Father to us forevermore. Can you see why the painting I described in the beginning is not such a strange Christmas image after all? In fact, it depicts precisely what God's Christmas gift is all about. It's about Jesus, our powerful horn of salvation, our deadly weapon against our deepest enemies. And when we've understood that, Christmas is an amazing moment. As we see that baby who came to be that victor for us. If you're here this morning and you've got loads of questions over what I've said, please speak to me afterwards. If all of this is very, very new to you, why not consider doing something like a Christianity Explore course in the new year to help you understand more about Jesus Christ and the salvation that he came to bring. Let us pray. Father, we confess that so often we don't see quite how serious our sin is. We don't see, Lord, what our true enemies are. And yet, Lord, your word tells us, it teaches us. Because if we didn't have your word, we would have no idea at all. Father, thank you for your deep, deep love that didn't leave us in our sin, in bondage to death and the devil. But you sent your Son to rescue us. You sent your Son to go to the cross where the deepest piercing that your Son took actually pierced all our enemies. We praise you. We thank you for Jesus, our Saviour. Jesus, our weapon against all our enemies. And we've done nothing other than just stand by and look with open mouths in wonder at what you have done to save us. Please, Lord, fill us with great joy in the security that Jesus, our horn of salvation, brings. And please open many, many people's eyes this Christmas to his wonderful salvation. In his name we pray. Amen.